Hello, this is Gary Naylor. I'd like to share some things with you in our time now. Something that is dated. In other words, it has to do with timing. So it's always a risk because we don't know what's ahead of us always. In fact, it's always iffy. We never know for certain what tomorrow might hold. Yeshua said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough troubles all its own." Well, that is certainly, certainly true. But in seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, we wonder what God is going to do. From my perspective, we today in the bride know more regarding the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, than has ever been known among man before. We are blessed, we are challenged with an understanding of what the kingdom is and what needs to take place, ever reaching forward to what lies ahead. That is what we're pursuing to do. I'm going to talk about time, the limitations of time. We're going to talk about the kingdom and what we hope is before us. It's always risky to do something like this because when you're dealing with time, we as mortal beings do not come even close to being the nature of Yeshua. You think about it. I've been pondering on this quite a bit now. Whenever the people picked up stones to stone Yeshua, did he react like you and I would have? "Oh, please don't throw them on us. You know, you don't know whether you're going to make it out." No, he just walked away from the crowd. He knew they were not going to stone him. When Nathanael came to him and Yeshua said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Well, Nathanael responded, "How do you know me?" And Yeshua said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Wow! Wouldn't you love to have that ability? He knew what was going to happen next. When Lazarus was sick, he knew he was sick. He knew when he died. And he waited 2 days before he even went to raise him from the dead. He knew everything in advance. In response to Herod, Yeshua said, "Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I reach my goal." He knew that Peter was going to deny him 3 times. He knew the rooster would crow. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew he would die. He knew to go to the garden because he had to identify under the Nazarite vow. He knew all of this. You see, we are limited with the first 3 dimensions. Space. That's all we know. Time is something that's right in our face. In fact, let me tell you what the best description of our experience is. Because Yeshua, the 4th dimension of time, didn't mean anything to him. The 4th dimension of time was not a limitation. He knew what was next. We don't. We do not know what's in front of us. We do not have the ability to look forward in time. He did. Oh, I would love to enter into a body like that. But here's what we face today. It is like driving a car down a hazardous mountain road with the front windshield completely painted. So, your view is that you can look out where you are at the time. You can look in your mirror and see where you've been. But you have no idea what's in front of you as you twist down this mountainous road. You can look out the window and you say, oops, oh, it looks like the... Yeah, we have to be curving right a little bit. And so you steer right, you know, and you try to watch that. And you hope nothing's in front of you. There's going to be a disaster. And that's how life is for us. We don't know the future. It's terrible. all we can do is look at where we've been to try to figure out where we're going. Well, someone says, oh, yes, it's written in the scriptures. What's going to happen? No, it's Babylonian confusion. What the church says is going to happen. Their ideas concerning their end time disasters are totally bogus. That's not down the road at all. So if we are now in trying to find out where we are in time, it's extremely difficult. Let me share with you what the highway of life has offered to me since I was born. And honestly, this is the one thing that I can go by right now as far as what is God going to do. I just want to share this with you to let you know what my hope is. What's ahead of us, we don't know. Not for certain. We can look in that rearview mirror. We can look out the side windows. And that's what I'm doing right now when I share this. About 3 years ago, I saw something that was very encouraging to me, and I'd like to share it with you today. It was early in the morning, as I recall, and I was thinking about my life, and I thought, yeah, I was born in 1948. And let's see, I became a believer and started walking with Yeshua in 1971. See, I would have been 23. And then my thoughts carried me on further, and I thought, let's see, the Spirit came upon me in 1994. Of course, in 1948, that's when the Spirit, if you would, the pneuma came into my lungs and I could breathe for the first time. But the Spirit came upon me, the pneuma came upon me in 1994 in June. And I thought, I wonder how many years that was from 1971 to 1994. And I figured it up, and wow, it's 23 years. It was 23 years from 1948 to 1971. It was 23 years from 1971 to 1994. Well, that's significant. Now, I wonder where another 23 years would take us. I figured that out in my head, and that takes us to 2017. So, is that significant? Well, one thing that encourages me that it could be significant, because all we can do is work with what we have. And that is the period of time in which Moses lived was exactly 120 years. So you say, well, what's unique about that? Well, it was divided into three periods of 40 years. There was 40 years in which Moses was in Egypt. There was 40 years in which he was a shepherd. And there were 40 years in which he led the sons of Israel to the promised land. He died exactly at the age of 120. And then the other one would be the kings. Saul was king for 40 years. David came along. He was king for 40 years. And then Solomon came along, and he was king for 40 years, another three 40-year periods. So I questioned, if Yahweh's given me two 23-year periods, could it be that the fulfillment of what I've been seeking will end after three periods of 23 years? In looking at that, of course, one has to ask, when do we get the latter rain? Now, when I first saw this, I thought, boy, maybe that's when we ascend into heaven. So that 2 years before 2017, we would be in 2015 receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Well, obviously, that did not happen. So the only thing I'm left with is that we would receive the pneuma. You remember, I breathed the breath of life in 1948. The breath of life came on me in 1971 when I became a believer, and it transformed my life. But even more transforming, in 1994, the breath of life came, and an earthquake truly transformed all that I understood and believed. And then the hope will be that in 2017, that we would receive the Spirit in the latter rain. So for me, that'd be, it's actually 48, 71, 94, and 2017 would be four times, actually. But it's, as you see, it's three periods of 23 years. That is my hope. So one must ask the question, what could be the significance of 23? And let me share some of these things with you. The number 23 is not used very much in the scriptures, but we do see testimonies of it. For example, the number of chromosomes that we have in the egg, in the sperm, the haploid number, is 23 because we have 46 chromosomes and the haploid is half of that. So it'll be 23 and 23. What's interesting about that is when you bring together the 23 and the 23, it then produces fruitfulness, the offspring. Let's tie this together with another one. The Jews ask Yeshua, what sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things, doing miracles and such? Yeshua's answer was, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Well, you know what he meant, but they didn't understand at the time. So the Jews replied, it took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? 46 years it took to build the temple that Yeshua said he would tear down, and that temple did get torn down. So we have, at the end of 46 years, you see the witness of Yeshua. Now, of course, he's speaking about his death after 2 days. But keep in mind, the church follows the same pattern. Two parts are cut off and die, and the third part is taken through the fire. And so just like you see the haploid genetic code coming together and producing offspring, you see 2 days, and Yeshua would reach his goal on the third. And you see the testimony of the Jews that it took them 46 years to build this temple that they thought Yeshua would tear down, and it was torn down. What is he speaking of? You got 2,000 years of the church. It has to be cut off and die and be cut short. And there you see the testimony of 2 23s. I've had 2 23s in my life. The first 23 years was as an unbeliever, if you would. I wasn't walking with Yeshua, wasn't glorifying his name. 23 years as a Christian. Well, surely that's sufficient. No, it's not sufficient. It hasn't been sufficient for 2,000 years. So the first 2 23-year periods in my life did not produce the desired results, any more than 2 days in the grave produced the desired results concerning Yeshua's resurrection. He had to resurrect on the third. And so in June of 1994, the Spirit came upon me, and I went into, if you would, my own personal millennial reign, in which I've understood things that no man has ever understood before. So it's at the completion of, hopefully, this third 23-year period that Yeshua will again breathe upon us. Give us his pneuma, give us his breath, and we're going to see the establishment of the bride and the coming of Emmanuel, the marriage of the Lamb. Now, it's also quite interesting that in my own personal life, I married my wife in none other than 1969. You see, 23, 23, and 23 equals 69. The very year that I married my wife, and we are waiting for the marriage of the Lamb. So after 69 years from whenever I was born, could it be that we will see the marriage of the Lamb? I tell you, after my wife has rejected me for 13, almost 14 years, I'm ready for a marriage. other interesting things about the number 23 is that it is a prime number. Now, for people who are interested in things like significance, numerology, whatever, a prime number is a big deal. And interestingly, musicians use the number 23 numerous times to title songs, and it appears in movies as well. In fact, there's a movie, I think, titled 23. here's one that I personally find interesting because there's a movie out called A Beautiful Mind. It was about John Forbes Nash. He was fixated on this number 23 in his life. And my family actually thought that I was like that after watching the movie because I kept seeing patterns, and Nash did. Now, I looked at it and found it quite interesting. They looked at it and they said, "My father's kooky." So they said that about other people. So that's just a price you pay. But anyway, he found the number 23 being very significant and quite interesting. In 2015, he and his wife were killed in a car wreck on May 23. And I thought, boy, Nash would have really been pleased that he died on the 23rd. So take that for what it's worth. But here's one that I'm really wanting to get to. And everything said thus far regarding this number brings me to this. We've spoken about Jezebel in these previous teachings, and there is one that is probably no more significant than her at this point. With feminism the way it is, with the warnings concerning Jezebel, finding out that the father's wife has been a Jezebel, if you would, we find this testimony quite striking when Jezebel's death comes at the words of Elijah and during his time on this earth. We read in 2 Kings 9 that when Jehu showed up, she came to the window, and of course she painted her eyes before she came to the window. Ladies, next time you put your makeup on, remember, you're just following in the ways of Jezebel, who painted her eyes before she was pushed out a window. This is the problem with feminism. Feminism is a corruption that brings attention to the female and not to the male. The glory, the attention, should be directed to the male, just like we should direct the attention to Yeshua, not to ourselves. Jehu spoke to the eunuchs who were standing by her. He said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And two or three eunuchs looked down at him. He said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of the blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. It's quite interesting where it says two or three eunuchs looked down at him. The word "or" is not there. What is there is, "and two, three eunuchs looked down." Two, three. Well, that's the number 23. This occurs actually three times in the scriptures where you have a 2-3. You have the 2-3 eunuchs here in 2 Kings 9:32. In Isaiah 17:6-7, concerning Damascus, it says, "Yet gleanings will be left in it like the shaking of an olive tree." Now keep in mind, olives have to do with the remnant. Figs would have to do with Christianity. "The shaking of an olive tree, 2-3 leaves on the topmost bough, 4-5 on the branches of the fruitful tree," declares Yahweh. Here again we see associated with this time the bride, this 2-3, And hopefully, just hopefully, it looks to the fulfillment of today and the number 23. But you do have one that doesn't fall within this. It's Amos 4:8. It says, so two, three cities would stagger to another city to drink water, but would not be satisfied. So in that regard, it's not positive like we're looking forward to today. But the reality is, I've had two 23s that match this testimony already. It says, so two, three cities would stagger to another city to drink water, but would not be satisfied. Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, men have been staggering for 2,000 years. And hopefully, in this third 23, we're going to see Jezebel pushed out the window and let the dogs eat her. You know, excuse me, I'm dating this again, but of course, Hillary Clinton is running for president. And the election is going to be just within a few days from when I make this recording. I hope she doesn't get it, but one way or another, I think she's going to be pushed out the window. It's quite interesting that several years ago, she said she went to the Marines and tried to get in the military, was inquiring about it. And she speaks about this quite often, actually. And she said that they told her, no, ma'am, maybe the dogs will take you. Well, I hope they do. She testifies concerning Jezebel, and Jezebel is a wicked, wicked person. In fact, let me read something for you here that is very relevant to this. You remember what Yahweh spoke to Adam whenever he came to Satan, Eve, and then to Adam and spoke to them, each one in that order? His words to Adam were, because you listened to the voice of your woman. Now, listen to this. Jezebel was a wicked, wicked person, just like Hillary Clinton is. She's a liar. Satan is the father of lies. She is a usurper, just like Satan was a usurper and is a usurper, in that he is female in a relationship with God, and he rebelled against God. And Satan represents, and Jezebel represents, the same thing. It's feminism. It's a person who's out of their place. And in 1 Kings 21:25 and 26, we read concerning Ahab and Jezebel, starting with verse 25, surely there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the sight of Yahweh, because Jezebel, his wife, incited or persuaded him. Jezebel persuaded Ahab. What was that scripture? Because you listened to the voice of your woman, your wife. And what do we find here in judgment against Ahab? Because Jezebel, his wife, persuaded him. This is exactly what happened in the garden. What happened to Ahab is exactly what happened to Adam in the garden. It's a repeat. It's the same thing. Eve was a Jezebel in that case because she listened to the voice of the serpent and convinced the man. I pray I will never be convinced by a Jezebel. Verse 26. He, in other words, Ahab, he acted very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom Yahweh cast out before the sons of Israel. Well, I tell you what, when you start looking at Jezebel, you see the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah. She was the mastermind of the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah. Now, why am I thinking about Hillary Clinton at this point? Folks, you don't realize how prophetic she is. This is not just a coincidence. Two incidences happening at the same time that are unrelated. Let me tell you, she is a type of Jezebel and the type of the spirit that has been upon this nation and upon the world for quite a number of years. It's a spirit that began in Satan himself. It's the spirit of Jezebel. It's the spirit that is directing this election and the spirit that is corrupting this nation and the world. So one way or another, Jezebel, Hillary Clinton, needs to fall out of the window. Maybe by the aid of the 2-3. I hope that the man with the golden head, Trump, succeeds. If not, and if we are seeing the timing correctly, then the Elijah will come on the scene and he will call for the destruction of the Jezebel. It's not just Hillary Clinton, folks. It is the United States. It is the world. It infiltrates everything. I want to give you an example of this. It's real popular today. Relatively popular might be another way of saying it. For a woman not to take the name of her husband. In other words, if she was Susie Smith and she marries Bill Jones, it has been the way of this country to say now she's Susie Jones, not Susie Smith. But some people today are saying she's Susie Smith hyphen Jones. Susie Smith Jones. That's popular. It's supposed to be good. Let me tell you, it's evil. A woman is to be absorbed into the identity of her husband. And for the woman to keep her maiden name is to say that I am equal to my husband. I am not absorbed into his identity. I want to keep my old identity. It's the same thing as when a person becomes a believer to say, I'll use any name, a Bill. So he's Bill or it's Yeshua. So he's Bill, let's just call him Bill Stewart. So he's Bill Stewart. But when he's absorbed into Yeshua, he doesn't have the identity of Stewart. He is Bill Yeshua. You understand? In other words, our identity is absorbed into the identity with Yeshua. The scriptures say, it is no longer I who live. So when a woman keeps her maiden name, she's showing the corruption of the system in which she is absorbed into the identity of her husband, which is the same thing as us wanting to keep our own identity when we come to believe in Yeshua. In other words, we have a hyphenated relationship with God. We stand shoulder to shoulder with him. No. We stand under him. We stand in subjection to him. So this whole thing of hyphenated names, it's very corrupt. It's the corruption of a nation, and that's what it reveals. So I raise the question here, what is our hope for the days before us? What specifically is our hope? Well, at the completion of this third 23-year period in my life, I hope we have the latter rain. I would take it any time in 2017, any time. I'll take it at any given time. But there are some things that draw my attention. There is a writing titled, very simply, it's one word, Sheila. I encourage you to read it. It's a very, very interesting writing. And it talks about the need for there to be a delayed Passover. Let me explain that. At the time of Yeshua's death, he fulfilled Passover as the Passover lamb. But there's another part of that, and that is the Nazarite vow. And here, again, after 2,000 years of Christianity, nobody has ever heard of the Nazarite vow until Yahweh showed this man, showed it to the bride. And so what we see is that he cleansed the kingdom of heaven. He restored the kingdom of heaven, gave the kingdom back to man, but man corrupted the kingdom again, just like in the garden. It was going to be that way. The man listened to the voice of the woman, just like they do today, and it was corrupted. And so what we have is a corrupted kingdom that has to be restored once again. That has to be through a Passover. Now, this would not be significant except for the law. There's only one feast of all the feasts that can be held in a delayed period, and that is Passover. In Numbers chapter 9, verses 10 through 14, we find that if a person had been among the dead or had been on a long journey, then they could have a Passover 30 days later. Let me tell you what, folks. We have been among the dead for 2,000 years. We have been on a long journey of 2,000 years. This law that allowed for a second Passover is what will restore the kingdom of heaven back to the bride. The kingdom has been corrupted for 2,000 years. It will be restored for the bride so that we can prepare the way for Emmanuel, Yahweh completing what he began 2,000 years ago with the first remnant. And that's what has to take place. There has to be another Passover. Now, I assume since the law was fulfilled at Passover at the beginning, that it would occur again at a Passover. But of course, this would be a delayed Passover, one that's 30 days later. Now, looking at the new millennial calendar at RentItBride.com, you can find it by going to the homepage. They delayed Passover in 2017 would be May 24, 2017. Now, again, this is in the writing Shelah, if you want to study this out some more. So hopefully in this coming year, we will see a restoration of the kingdom given to the bride. Again, folks, as I've spoken so many times in the writings, this is law. This is government. This is bones. It's not haphazard. You know, Christians say, Jesus could come any day. No, he can't come just any day. It's law. There is a certain day that he is appointed to come on, and it is going to be according to the laws of God. So the delayed Passover this year would be May 24, 2017. Now, let me mention another thing. Has there ever been another time in history, particularly in the scriptures, in which there was a delayed Passover fulfilled? Yes, there was. In 2 Chronicles, chapters 29 and 30, we find that Hezekiah was cleansing the temple. It was going to have a Passover. But because of the cleansing process that was required, can you think the church, folks? 2,000 years of Christianity, the tabernacle, the temple has been corrupted for 2,000 years. So with this cleansing, Hezekiah called for a delayed Passover. This is the only delayed Passover recorded in the scriptures. He held the Passover, and it was so wonderful that they celebrated it for twice the period of time, for 14 days. And so what you find is a testimony that this delayed Passover will be a double portion Passover. That's the same thing that we see with Elijah and Elisha. Elisha received a double portion of the Spirit given to Elijah. That's what we need today. We need a double portion delayed Passover fulfillment. And let me add one other thing. Pentecost is fulfilled. We do not want a Pentecost after Passover. No way. The Pentecost after Passover was two loaves of leavened bread that were lifted up to God. You could wave it, but you couldn't send it up to heaven as a burnt offering. No, we don't want that. That's 2,000 years of Christianity. We don't want it. We need a Pentecost. But what we need to do is to have a Pentecost associated with tabernacles. Well, you say, well, there's never been a tabernacles Pentecost. No, there haven't. But neither had there been a testimony that the priesthood went from Levi to Judah either. I'm going to be very brief about this. You can go to the writing Shelah and examine it. But Passover is a 1-7-1 pattern. That would be Passover, 7 days unleavened bread, 49 days later would be Pentecost, 1-7-1. Tabernacles, and by the way, that starts on the 14th. But Tabernacles starts on the 15th, and it is a 7-1 pattern. 7 days of Tabernacles, and then the eighth great day. What's missing? Passover was 1-7-1. That's the necessary pattern. Tabernacles is a 7-1. There needs to be a 1 up front. There needs to be a Pentecost up front. If Pentecost began the church, impregnated them to birth the body of Christ, don't we, the bride, need to be impregnated beforehand so that we can birth Yeshua? Yes, it works exactly that way. It has to. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit impregnates us. We need to be impregnated up front. And so, in order to fill this 1-7-1 pattern, we need a Pentecost. Now, Pentecost can be 49 days, and then Pentecost after Passover. But if you look at the law, and I can't go into it here, you can read it online, it could be 2 49-day periods. And that's according to the law. It's written both ways. But if you look at the writing, you can see it actually can go out 3. Now, I hope I don't lose you. But if you take when Tabernacles happens in this next year, which would begin on October 19, 2017, and then the seventh day of Tabernacles would be on October 26. Therefore, the great eighth day would be on that next day. If you start counting from October 26 and then count back towards Passover, 3 49-day periods. Remember, Passover is taking the first day of unleavened bread and you count a 49 or you count 2 49s. We're simply taking the day prior to the great eighth day and counting 3 49-day periods. If you do that, it takes you to May 31, 2017. What's the significance of May 31, 2017? It happens to be the final day of a delayed Passover. Now, do you understand that? What's interesting, though, and actually I've never even considered it until now, that would mean for a double delayed Passover that Hezekiah had, that would mean that it's right in the middle. That day falls right in the middle of a double delayed Passover. Yes, that is quite an amazing thing to consider, right in the middle of a Hezekiah double delayed Passover. Wow. All right. I realize we're still driving in that car with the front window painted, but we can look out the side window and we look in the mirror and we can go, this is interesting. This is interesting. That which has been is that which will be. And so we get out our plan and we go, yeah, if we get out the plan that says you're going to go to a certain destination, and we don't know which turn it's going to be around. It could be around the next turn. We don't know. But I do know. I know for a fact that there were 2 23-year periods in my life. And this is now coming to the completion of the third 23. I know that's a fact. I know it's a fact that there were 3 periods of Moses' life. I know it's a fact the 3 kings, the major kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. I know those are facts. What Yahweh's going to do? Unfortunately, we're left with the fourth dimension of time being only about a 1/16 of an inch thick is about it. Or let's just say it's 1 second thick. Using the correct increments, it'd be about 1 second thick. Because we don't know what's going to happen for certain in the next second. But I wanted to let you know about the significance of 23 and what this can hopefully mean for us today, particularly in light of 2-3 eunuchs pushing Jezebel out the window. And that was during the time of Elijah. Oh, and Hillary Clinton now with Bill. Oh, what a need. I pray that Yahweh does something in accordance with what we're seeing. But unfortunately, that 1/16 of an inch of time that we're limited to, we have to wait until it gets here. Is Yahweh speaking to us or showing us something in advance? I hope so. I know this for a fact. Concerning what is the kingdom of heaven, I've seen it in advance. I know what needs to happen. I know what's happening in Africa. And it has all the appearance of being an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's a fact. That's looking in my side window and in my mirror. That is a fact. What is Yahweh going to do in the days before us? We have to wait and see. But I wanted to share this with you, this hope that we have that Yahweh will do something in this next year with regard to the latter rain and the promise of the covenant with the many. The first remnant walked out a year and a half under the former rain. That would have been from the time of Yeshua and Passover, going to Passover and then going to Tabernacles. It's Tabernacles, obviously, Stephen was stoned, just like the two witnesses were stoned at Tabernacles whenever they didn't get to enter into the promised land. They picked up stones to kill the two witnesses, and that's what they did. They picked up stones to kill the witness, Stephen. That ended that year and a half. The covenant with the many, which you can look at it online, that covenant was for 3.5 years. There are 2 years left. That's what we need now. We need the fulfillment of the covenant with the many. We need the fulfillment of the delayed Passover. We need the fulfillment of Jezebel being pushed out the window. We need the fulfillment of Gihon. We need the fulfillment of that which has been is that which will be. We need the fulfillment of the bride. We need the fulfillment of the coming of Emmanuel. And may he come quickly. In the name of Yeshua, who is our hope. Amen.